Mini episode 1854 of the FDH Lounge is brought to you by Sportsology, delivering unconventional columns and webcasts about sports, TV, music, movies, and more. Follow them on the web at sportsology.com.
The FDH Lounge. You want to schedule your life around it.
A long time ago, on a gloomy, wet Cleveland spring night, two men stand alone amidst the late night drizzle. Their voices echo across the vacant station parking lot as they debate the merits of the great American radio show that have been missing for far too long. On that night, an idea was born. That idea became the FDH Lounge. Welcome to the FDH Lounge.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the 2025 NFC North preview on the FDH Lounge. We have FDH Lounge original dignitaries Rick Morris and Chris Galloway coming at you for this one. This is the second one that we are recording sequentially here, moving through the NFL. And as is always the case, we'll refer you back to the first one in the series, which is the NFC East, for any of our macro level notes for the season that we had. The rest of these, they're just focused on the divisions here by and large. We may make some reference notes from here to there outside of the division, but basically sticking to the divisions from here on in. And the format for this comes from Fantasy Football Draftology 2025, available on the main page of fantasydrafthelp.com. The feature is one run-on sentence for each NFC team. So I will read these off, and Chris and I will react to these. And this is in order of predicted finish. So Chris shook things up a little bit here by picking a divisional winner in the NFC East that may go against the grain of what some folks are thinking. To a lesser extent, I expect to do the same in the NFC North because I'm going against the defending champions here. I'm leading off with Green Bay. This team is one more Jordan Love leap forward away from winning it all. Now, granted, I did type that before he had his recent hand issue. So we'll see. Hopefully he only misses the first week or so of the season at most. Up next, Detroit, and note, I do have them slotted for a wild card this year. With more holes than usual, with more holes than in recent seasons, and two new coordinators, and the sudden burden of proof of showing that they can succeed as the hunter rather than the hunted, this is a bit of a stealth regression candidate. Note, I would also say the schedule works against them as well, which I probably should have thought to mention also. Chicago. Ben Johnson inherits a roster that has grown much stronger over the past two seasons, leaving him room to coach them up to the playoffs. Minnesota, a greater number of holes converges with the reality that the franchise must justify letting a playoff caliber QB walk away, setting up a potential setback candidate. So all in all, Chris, this is a team that, or a division, I should say. A year ago on the show, FDH Lounge dignitary Derek Allen had said that this was going to be the best division in the league by far. And he really called his shot on that one. And that was one where we do our statistical analyses at a couple points during the season. I did the first one, I think it was like 6 weeks in. And the four teams in the NFC North a year ago led the league. They were 1-4 in the league in margin of victory through 4 weeks. So I think this will still be a strong division this year, arguably still the strongest. I don't know if it'll be stronger than the AFC West, but I don't think it's going to be historically strong the way that it was a year ago. And that's even with the Bears going to be, they're going to be better than they were last year.
I agree with your entire order of finish.
Wow.
So we can just move on to the next division. No, I'm kidding. I see it the same way. I see Jordan Love continuing to progress. I think the Packers are poised to win the division. I think the Lions go backwards. I think that this is one of those times where we talk about, losing both coordinators is going to matter. I mean, you know I'm a Dan Campbell fan, have been for a long time. But losing two really good coordinators hurts. It matters. So I think the Lions are set up for a little bit of a step back. Mm-hmm. I agree with you on that. And despite my absolute just not believing in Caleb Williams at all, the Bears roster has improved steadily. And I'm going to echo what you said. It isn't that the Vikings roster somehow got worse, right? That's a solid defense led by Brian Flores. You know, they've got weapons on the outside and in wide receiver position. I just think the quarterback is a huge question mark at this point. And these people that are sort of anointing him as sort of like, you know, he's going to be, you know, first year Russell Wilson or something. I don't see it. We have no proof to go off of that. So based on that, I'm going to say, and oh, by the way, what if he gets hurt? Now, what do you do, Vikings? I've got the Vikings in they're doing the first to last dive, if you will. Well, I guess they weren't. I guess they were kind of tied for first with the Lions.
Kind of, sort of, yeah.
Yeah, and lost the tiebreak to have to go on the road, et cetera. But, you know, they're gonna be the team that I think has the biggest fall.
Yeah, I could see that. And I've got them, you know, similarly situated here. And this is a thing where, again, on the same page, it is page 18 in the draft guide here that I referenced before on the main page at fantasydrafthelp.com, remaining NFC team needs. So I said before, I think Minnesota's got a few more than we're used to seeing. They're at sort of a transitional place with this roster. I have them in this order: cornerback, defensive tackle, outside offensive line, running back, safety, edge. And they've got Jones at running back. And, you know, as Lisa Simpson might say, he's perfectly cromulent. But, I mean, I don't know that he's necessarily what you want at this stage of the game at running back, for example. So that was an area where I felt like they should have put some resources into it in the offseason. So that's the whole thing, is that they're at a place where the roster, again, I think it's going to be stronger a year from now. I think some of these situations were contractual issues, salary cap readjusting. But this is where I just kind of see them kind of taking a knee for a year. And again, the division as a whole kind of taking a little bit of a step back, even as Green Bay and Chicago take a step forward. I just think collectively it'll still be a step backwards, because even with the Bears stinking it up last year, you still had a situation where, again, I say it again, historically strong division. This is one of these things where, because we do our weekly power rankings going through and adding up the rankings in the division. So, in other words, you know, like, so the lowest number for a division is the best one. Like, so let's say you have like the first, the best team in the league, the sixth best, the 10th best, and the 27th best, for example. I mean, you're looking at off the top of my head, that's a number somewhere around 40. Okay. They were in the 30s and 40s last year, a good chunk of the way, when you added together all the rankings, and that's with Chicago accounting for like half of that number, okay? So, a historically great division, but they're going to be a little bit more human this year. Could still be the best in the league. Could be. And it'll be interesting to compare them to the AFC West when we get to that. I guess that's going to be our last division we're going to preview this year. So it's still a strong division. It's still going to have a lot of compelling matchups, but it's just not going to be where it was a year ago, I think. And that's one where I'm looking at this like Detroit at Minnesota as the middle game on Christmas. I'm just looking at that like, I don't know how good that's going to be looking if Minnesota's coming in with like 4 or 5 wins at most. That could be a stinker. And if Detroit steps on a banana peel, that game there, that'll be a real test of how bulletproof the NFL is if they draw a strong number for that one on Christmas, Chris.
Dude, I mean, Detroit pulls a strong number on Thanksgiving. And yeah. Even when they're historically bad, it doesn't matter. The NFL is bulletproof.
Okay.
On that front, I agree with what you're saying. I think that division takes a little bit of a step backwards. I think you got to remember, like, going into last year, we all thought Minnesota last year was going to be the year they sort of paid the piper on, you know, roster and salary cap and some other stuff that they needed to clean out. And we thought that they were going to, you know, sort of, you know, be sort of, you know, slightly below 500 sort of thing. And then they went and did what they did. So I just think for whatever reason, with, you know, McCarthy unproven, they're going to take that step backwards. What we thought we were going to see last year, we're going to see this year. I mean, look, the Packers made a great run last year. They really showed that they are on the cusp of breaking through and being that team led by Jordan Love. And I just think that the Lions, you know, losing their coordinators are just set up to be take a step back. I don't believe in the Bears. The people last year when he was a rookie saying the Bears might make it to the Super Bowl, I thought they were insane.
Yeah.
I think they've got an improving defense. They've got some improving assets. There's no doubt, but I am not a believer in Caleb Williams. I'm not a believer in him as a quarterback that works well within an offensive structure. And because of that, I just don't see them again winning more than 6 or 7 games.
He's going to have some weapons, though, okay?
And he doesn't play within this offensive structure. He sucks in it. You know, and he's – look, I'm a big believer in things like – that are intangible things like leadership and, you know, what happens in the locker room. Dude, Caleb Williams is just weird, man. I don't see grown men following him. I just don't see it. So I'm not a believer. I wasn't a believer coming out of USC. I think last year I was proven right, and I think I'll be proven right again. Much better talent. I like the coaching, but I don't believe in the quarterback. And ultimately, it's a quarterback league, as you and I have talked about 1,000 times.
Okay.
And I look at that division, right? I'm going to give Caleb Williams a slight advantage over JJ just because he played last year. Okay. But again, who I think is the best quarterback in that division? I think it's Jordan Love. And then it's your guy Goff.
Yeah, I think so. And this is where I guess as we go through the course of this series here, if we're doing the thing of like take a shot every time Rick sounds like an a-hole, then prepare your first one, I suppose. But I don't remember.
Well, if I've been playing that game since I first met you,
yes,
I mean, I'd be on my third liver transplant.
You would be. So you'll be ready for this one. I don't remember any such concern about Deshaun Watson in the clubhouse when he came to the Browns in 2022.
Yes, but two things. One, whether he was in Houston or when he first got to Cleveland, the players never seemed to have an issue with him, the off-field stuff. I never heard that from any of them. They all seemed to like him, his teammates in Houston and Cleveland. They all seemed to actually like Deshaun. You remember preseason, you know, they went to the Caribbean with him. They did team exercises together. I never saw an issue of, hey, we don't like this guy or whatnot. Now, I have said to you repeatedly about the Browns where I think they fail is the lack of leadership in that locker room, that for all the good stuff Kevin Stefanski can do as a coach, I still don't believe, I've come to believe now that he's just not a leader of men, right? Mm-hmm. And you and I have had that conversation of the alpha and the beta.
Sure.
And how the Browns just have too many beta males. And again, that's not in the right wing, you know,
verbiage. Manosphere, red pill.
Right, yeah, that's not how I mean it. I mean it in the true psychological sense.
Right.
You know, in the same way, for years I told you Dan Campbell would be a really good coach because he is an alpha male who knows how to lead men. And you know, that is a thing that, for good or for ill, it's just not Kevin Stefanski, right?
No.
And it's not Myles Garrett. He's not a leader. And that team, again, we'll get into the Browns later, is a great example of where they haven't had enough of those guys. So when things get a little shaky, they can stabilize. And I just think the same thing about if Caleb Williams, if you're the leader of the team, I don't see it. I see a team that responds to Goff. I see a team that responds to, you know, to Love. I don't see it with Caleb Williams. McCarthy, we don't know because we haven't seen anything yet. So I will say this, the guys that play with him, certainly in Michigan, you know, he certainly seems to be loved. I mean, I don't think that's an issue in terms of leadership out of McCarthy. He seems to have that.
Sure.
I just don't think we know whether he can play.
Okay. Well, and on this division, just to bring it full circle here, when I talk about, as I did in the previous segments here, the handful of days that you have for making a difference in the offseason, if Green Bay goes as far as I think they're going to go, and the only chum in the water I'm going to say right now is minimum championship Sunday, then we may look back on the most important moment of the offseason, ironically being in their stadium, night one of the NFL draft. We were doing the live coverage here, and I think we were joking about it. I think Wikipedia had it ahead of time. I think that was one of the picks that they spoiled. Matthew Golden going there. I mean, he projects to be by far the best weapon that Jordan Love's ever had. This is a guy that can take the top off of it in that offense here. We may look back, if Green Bay has this kind of a year, as maybe, I'm not afraid to exaggerate, maybe the most important moment of the offseason, Chris.
Yeah, I think for the Packers, I think it is, right? I mean, the Packers are deep at wide receiver. Now, they all haven't, like Watson, they haven't really all panned out the way we thought.
Mm-hmm.
But he's got weapons, to your point. I mean, there are weapons there. And he has grown more and more confident in who he is as a quarterback throwing that football.
Yep.
And he's so comfortable now in the system that he's in. I'm with you. I think the Packers are, I believe the Packers are NFC championship game bound.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, wow. Okay. So we agree on this. Both of us maybe going a little bit against the grain here, because I'm thinking that Detroit is still the chalk in a lot of quarters here, but we're both saying Green Bay, there's a real clip and save. We're going to have a whole bunch more to come in the remainder of our series. Thanks so much, Chris Galloway. And thanks everybody for checking out our 2025 NFC North preview on the FDH Lounge.